My name is Jacqueline May Cumber, and I'm the state representative for the 7th Legislative District. It's been an honor to serve the district and the people of the 7th. I've been working on New Era, which is the Northeast Washington Economic Revitalization Alliance, and it's working on legislation through local, state, and city officials together bipartisan and coming up with legislation that would help the district become sustainable and have economic viability. And it's working together as a team to really come up with solutions for the district. And it's been great.
Now, I will say that we're not talking with you in person because you are far, far away. Tell us about what you're doing right now.
Well, actually, I just got in the last 24 hours. I received the CAN Public Scholarship for public service to Harvard Kennedy School. And I was over there. We worked on broadband technology for rural areas, and I spent the last month at Harvard.
So what was that experience like?
It was quite amazing. It's good to get together public officials throughout the world, actually working together for a common solution. And it's an honor to be a part of that and represent the 7th District.
So it was about, you said broadband. Tell me more about that.
We were working on solutions for broadband technology to come to the rural areas. That's really, broadband is now the new electricity. We electrified the nation, and we provided electricity for all the families, and now we need to make sure we provide technology so we have equality for education and healthcare throughout the nation.
So where would you say broadband is needed most in your district?
Oh, I mean, the FCC hasn't clearly defined where it is needed. That's our first problem. We need to clearly define where it is needed. But there's a lot of areas that I have a low-income medical clinic that serves the area, and they pay up to $10,000 a month for broadband. A similar clinic in the Seattle area pays approximately $110 a month. So things like that really change the way we're ever able to provide healthcare, we're able to provide people's lab reports and really take care of the community as a whole. I mean, we have broadband problems within a mile off of a main highway. So we really need to look at making sure everybody has the opportunities and making sure our children can be educated through equality. This is an equality issue, not just a technology issue. So really making sure we have equality throughout the nation is important.
So you're from the Republic area, and you were talking about economic development. How will broadband help to develop the Ferry County economy, do you think?
Oh, it's so important. Having the ability to work from home, I hear it all the time that, you know, I want to be able to provide for my family, work from home, and do something. And you really need to have that broadband technology to do that. I mean, other states have done the broadband expansion to the rural areas, and it is paid back hundredfold to their state GDP. So we really need to make sure that we allow people the ability to work from home, to educate from home, and even start providing the opportunities to even apply to jobs. You know, most jobs you have to apply for online. And it's really shocking the ability to not be able to look to the future for our children and have that opportunity.
And how would you, as a Washington state legislator, continue to improve the access to broadband for rural communities such as yours?
Oh, that's a great question. We had legislation last year that really looked at providing a public private partnership program. I've been meeting with the governor, and I will be meeting with him again this week to discuss the ideas that are coming forward. He has a plan to move forward. The legislature had a bill last year to move forward. I mean, it's going to be a process where we all work together, where maybe the state comes up with starting the infrastructure, and then we allow the independent providers to tap into that and provide the service. So we have a lot of great ideas coming forward, and really just having the bipartisan strength and working together is going to solve this problem.
Okay, so also going on in your district, there's a proposal to build a smelter in Newport, and that's one that's sort of dividing the community. What are your views about that project?
You know, as a state legislator, when a private company comes in, I really didn't have any participation in that. I know the governor gave clean energy funding to allow to review that. I was going to participate in that process, but I do know that when the SEPA, the state's environmental impact statement, comes forward, we'll see where that where the impact comes in. As I said on my bio, I'm a Republican environmentalist. I want to make sure the environment is taken care of, number one. I also want to make sure that we're not outsourcing for products. If it can be done here and done the cleanest in the world, let's do that. We have the cleanest recycling facility west of the Mississippi in my district, or just south of my district, in Spokane area. We have the cleanest aluminum that goes to Boeing and in the world. So to keep those clean manufacturers in the Washington state area is so important, because what happens is we end up buying those products anyway, and we just outsource them to China and Russia. And so solar panels are really important when we talk about clean energy in the future. And we want to make sure we get those panels, the best product made locally and purchased locally. So I look forward to seeing what the SEPA has and what the community does. Everybody has a choice on the local level on whether they want companies coming in or not.
And what are you hearing from the folks in Newport when you go over there to campaign?
It's always a mixed bag. I've heard a lot of concerns. A lot of people are very emotional. Mostly people who contact me are from Idaho. And so I understand their concerns. I don't really have any control until the company fills out their paperwork. It's much like any other company. But I do hear a lot of people that say, you know, I really want to be able to feed my family and continue to live here. House values have crashed. You know, the only people that can live here, you don't have jobs. So I get both sides.
So one of the other environmental issues that's coming up this campaign, and I think the Washington voters are going to get to decide this, the idea of a carbon tax and to help pay for reducing climate emissions in Washington. What are your views on that issue, perhaps that initiative that might be on the November ballot?
I do have concerns. I really like looking at the carbon tax policies, but equating taking out the tax, because what happens when you tax on that level and where they were looking to tax that tax itself, it goes on the least that can afford it. So it goes on those heating their homes, feeding their families. There's a progressive and a regressive tax. And that is really a regressive tax. That really taxes the least that can afford it. So there's other ways to look at lowering our carbon footprint. And some of those are incentivizing. And I really feel like, you know, although I can't offer anybody advice on how to vote, but there's some issues when it comes to taxing the people, because it's always passed down to the least that can afford it. And that is going to be one of those where you're going to be paying to basic amenities to feed your home, to drive your vehicle, to go to the doctor, to go to school, to go to work. And I just want to make sure that we take care of the environment, but we also don't put it on the backs of those that can afford it the least. We really need to review some of the policies, especially California and the low carbon fuel standard. That product is actually made in the Indonesia area, and it's used with carbon. It's a high carbon process that creates a biofuel, and then it's sold on the open market with China. And that is what we use and we place it into our gas for a low carbon fuel standard. But if you look at what we call point source emissions, it actually is an increase of carbon because you have to ship it across the ocean, and the way it's produced through coal, it actually increases carbon footprint. So if we look at point source carbon, we have a little different idea of the way we want to lower our carbon footprint. Washington State is not just a biodome. Sometimes we just like to look at everything from just our area. But if we look at what we do globally, sometimes our policies actually increase carbon, not decrease.
So we're right in the middle of wildfire season, and a couple of legislative sessions ago, you were involved in a wildfire bill to try to reduce the possibility of wildfire. How would you think things are going since that first bill was approved a year or so ago?
Are you just talking about my homelessness and wildfire bill?
Well, we'll start with that then. Has that worked so far? Has that been implemented yet, even in the last year or so since it's become law?
Yes, so that bill addressing homelessness in wildfire areas is to address not just the initial response, but also education and cleanup of wildfire areas for those that are in the rural areas. What's important is we just issued out some funding to start with radio technology, because what happened is, especially in the North Ferry County area, there was a fire that was started and the first responders could not even talk to each other. So we didn't know where the fire was. We didn't know where they were, if they were safe. I was at incident command quite quickly in the Colville National Forest, and there was no communication. And so that was pretty, it's pretty scary to have men on the ground, women on the ground fighting fires and not being able to talk to them where they are. So that was a safety issue, and it's a response issue. So we started with that, and that just went out about 2 months ago. So issuing that funding, and I think the Department of Natural Resources has done a great job partnering with the National Forest and doing a collaborative partnership and really cleaning up the forest to stop these initial fires. And that I was happy to participate in with Hillary Franz on and be there and support that. Healthy forests really start in the beginning before fire season. So I've had quite a few actually pieces of legislation to allow the Department of Fish and Wildlife, to allow the DNR to take out those diseased trees, to cut down on fuel mitigation, to really do preemptive work before we become to catastrophic fires. Sometimes we create legislation and create policies that hinder the ability of the department to actually take down those loads. To file a SEPA for a couple diseased trees could take 18 months, but the fire can start quickly. So that legislation did not pass, but it really let us look at sometimes we can hinder our own ability to fight our fires and start right away, start in the spring, start in the fall to stop these catastrophic fires before they start.
In fact, this morning, I think Representative McMorris Rogers is up with the Forest Service chief to show off the kind of the collaborative project up in the Colville. So what are your thoughts about that? Is that making progress? Is that helping to reduce the wildfire danger up there?
We just started it this year. I went on one of the first tours last summer to look at the areas that were first allocated for the partnership. And it's up in the Northport area on the Colville. And I mean, I think we're doing a good job. The state of Washington is really doing a good job being proactive. And that takes a group of people that want to work across the aisles, across the line, across federal, state, that know that our forests come first. And I'm really proud to be a part of that. I'm really proud to participate in that and support that from the very beginning. And I look forward to seeing what that does, being on that tour and seeing the timber that had built up, the fuel that had built up over years and years, and coming in and assisting the federal government and bringing locals to work, because we're hiring local people through the DNR and allowing them to work to clean the area up. I mean, it's a win-win for everyone, and I look forward to seeing what it does in the future.
All right. Were there any other issues that you wanted to talk about? Any other things that you're proud of that you wanted to tout? Well, I've got you on the line.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm proud of the 7th District. I'm proud of the people of the district. We're hardworking people. We're strong people, and I'm just really proud of the innovations that we're working on. Because you know, it's interesting. We talk about how hard it is to do certain things. Really, the 7th District comes up with innovative ideas and working together, and that's what it's all about. It's making the district better for everyone, and I'm really proud to be a part of that. And to work for the people of the 7th, to give my time and my family, and we all work together to make the 7th District better. I'm honored to help in any way I can.